If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.
Welcome, everyone, to the Matrix Mindset Academy. We're here with the number one coach in the world, Brian Del Masso. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Craig. How are you doing? It's actually good afternoon over here, but I know you're over there in Indonesia and you're from Kiwi land, so you're all over the place.
This is an international show for sure.
International, yes, sir.
We had an incredible event last week, the Impact Summit, an amazing, incredible event as well, with you, Brian Carruthers, Ray Higdon, and a host of other incredible speakers. It was a great event, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, it was amazing. I mean, the people that came to that summit as speakers and donated their time, like I said, people weren't getting paid. These people have all been self-made, and they just really have big hearts, and they want to give back and help. And it was really evident because they showed up in drones and really delivered just a crazy ton of value to people. So I was really blessed and honored and very grateful to them. So if any of them are watching, thank you guys for participating in the Impact Summit and donating your time. I know it's very valuable.
There were so many learnings from the show. I made lots of notes. I hope people had made notes. And I just wanted to remind everyone that I'm going to put the link into the show notes with this podcast and also stick it on Facebook and make sure it's all around, because people can still get the recordings. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. We bundled that up. We had it professionally recorded and edited. And I think there's about 25 speakers, everything from seven-figure earner strategies to tax strategies. We had health and fitness experts. I mean, it's just an amazing array of professional speakers from around the world. And it's all bundled up into a nice Kajabi program, which is, you can search it and go to the videos and do the trainings and really own it for life, share it with your team. So yeah, we're really proud of that.
So on the show, on the Impact Summit, you spoke about the mindset of success. We had Ray Higdon talking about his process of, you know, being a multi-million dollar network marketer and really being very transparent about the steps that he went through. And then we had Brian Carruthers as well, sharing about his book and his principles of moving the mindset from being an employee to being an entrepreneur and the different types of income. So I've got my key points. I'm going to go through the ones that just stuck out to me, the phrases or the sentences, and I'd love you to share your perspective on those as well. So let's start with the first one, and it's one of yours. And you said mental activity doesn't equal thinking.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, when we talk about that, a lot of people get confused. When we say mental activity does not constitute thinking, what we mean by that is most people actually go through most of their life without actually thinking. Now, mental activity is just going through the motions. When you're walking, there's mental activity, but we're not thinking. The only time we're really ever thinking is when we're tapping into the infinite intelligence, right? And we're trying to solve problems that we don't know the answers to. Or when we're writing, we're thinking. It's impossible to write without activating the thinking mechanisms in our brain and in our mind. But going through the motions, we go to work, that's not thinking. That's just mental activity. Unless you're learning something new or creating something new, we're not really in thinking mode. We're just in mental activity mode. There's a vast difference. Like right now, I'm not thinking. Right? It's just mental activity. My voice is moving. My hands are moving. It's just mental activity. I'm not trying to solve a problem or create a new program, or you and I are not masterminding on trying to figure out, you know, a seven-figure problem. So that's really the difference. When we say mental activity does not constitute thinking, that actually gets people to think. And they analyze their day. It's like, no, I just kind of went to work and I drove, but I didn't create anything new. I didn't solve any problems. And I didn't write anything down, so I wasn't really in thinking mode. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think that people need to. We all need to. One of the best things we can do for each other is actually to raise the standard of what we expect thinking is, and encouraging each other to go deeper, be more structured, to be more purposeful, and to be solution oriented. I was thinking again. It's such a phrase that we use, right?
Yeah.
And, we use it so carelessly.
It's a lot more catchy than saying I was mentally activating.
I was coming home from the office and going through this road called Seringsing. And this is a very, very busy road. If you're not watching and you're not thinking and you're not really focused, there could be 15 people coming from all different directions and speeds, and you just lose your life or a leg or an arm or something when you're coming home and I ride a motorbike. And I realized from the start of Sering Sing to the turn off that goes into my house, I wasn't actually paying attention. I'd gone on to that, just that routine way of going from one place to another. And yes, I was still alive by the end of it, but I wasn't actually thinking and cognizant. I was processing in my mind about something else while I was doing this activity. Mm-hmm. And I like that you said that it takes a purposeful focus around a particular topic to really be thinking deeply.
That's exactly it. And a good example of this, everybody has done this, and I do this all the time too. You find yourself driving on a familiar path, or you know, somebody's driving to work or they're driving home, and it's that same route and same routine. You can be driving along and people are texting and their phone calls. Next thing you know, I know that everybody listening has had this happen. You kind of look up, it's like, wow, like I'm 10 miles down the road and I wasn't even paying attention. Like, that's your subconscious activating a program called driving. And you're not thinking, it's just a program like breathing at that point. It almost becomes like totally consciously unaware, right? Now, but what you were talking about when you came to that, I think I've seen this on TV, by the way, that 15-way intersection where bikes and cars are zooming. Now you're thinking again. Now it's like, okay, I must process information. I don't know what move's going to be next. Now you're thinking again. That's a perfect example.
One of the other points that I really loved is you said that you wanted to drink the same Kool-Aid as those successful people in front of you because success leaves clues. Yeah, I love that. So people who have gone before you have already done that thinking and that processing, and it allows you to go to that next level and make those leaps. Just talk about that a little bit.
Sure. I mean, Ray, my buddy Ray, is a real good example. When they say success leaves clues, this is not rocket science. If you find somebody in your field that's already got to 7 figures a year or 7 figures a month or whatever it is you're trying to get to, all you need to do is make really good friends with them and convince them to mentor you and then do exactly what they tell you. I mean, that's such a simple recipe. It's bizarre that more people don't do it. It really is. But there's reasons they don't do it, right? We've talked about this on past podcasts. It's a paradigm. It's a set of mental programs. They don't believe they can do it, right? But I mean, Ray laid it out. If you're in network marketing, you know, he went for 20 no's a day, which is probably 100 calls. Now that's doable. You can do 100 calls in 4 to 6 hours. It's not even an eight hour day, right? And he went on to make millions of dollars. I mean, within 7 months, he was earning $50,000 a month, going from $1 million in debt. So when you just start to process that information, anybody could do that. And I do mean anybody, you know, but most people won't because of their limited beliefs and their programming. And then you have desire and willpower and drive, but anybody could do that, you know? So when we talk about success leaves clues, I mean, I model Bob Proctor, right? My coaching business, you know, what we're doing, I literally model what he's doing. I mean, their company makes $100 million a year. You know, he's one of the top, I think he's the top wealth mindset coach in the world. But even as far as just running a consultant business and running the business part of it, he's one of the best in the world. I mean, obviously, you've got people like Grant Cardone that are really leveraging media and technology and but as far as my business goes and what we do for coaching and in the wealth mindset, I'm modeling what Bob does. I'm not going to go recreate everything. There's certain things that I do that are different because obviously we're in a newer age than when he started his business. But for the most part, he's already figured out what works and what doesn't. I'm just going to do the same damn thing he does, as Ray would say.
Yeah, I really like that. And that different paradigm of what Ray said, go for no. Yeah. Go for no. And I wrote that down. It was go for no. I thought, what is he talking about? Why go for no? Everyone wants to go for a yes and get a positive response. But he actually went for no. And then he knew he had contacted enough people that it was enough for the day and then keep moving on. Switching that paradigm is really, 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 really tough. You know, to follow the success of others and accept what you think is crazy. It's opposite to what you think. So how can we help people do that then to make that switch?
Well, I think it starts with awareness, Craig, and that's a really good question. We talk about, you know, switching a paradigm is tough. Let's go to the root cause of why it can be tough. Right? The paradigm is a set of mental programs stored in your subconscious mind that causes all of our habitual behavior. We have a program called walking. We have one called speaking. You just took a sip out of your cup. Well, that was a program that you consciously activated because you were thirsty and you wanted some coffee, whatever you're drinking. That was a program. If you had to consciously think of doing that, you would have spilled the coffee all over yourself like a baby would, right? Now, it's important to understand that the subconscious mind is a million times more powerful than the conscious mind for a data storage center. And then it's important to understand why. The reason why is if it wasn't more powerful than the conscious mind, you would have to relearn how to walk every single morning. You'd have to relearn how to speak, how to eat. So it's important to understand that our subconscious is a data storage center. It's designed to store programs so we don't consciously have to activate them because the conscious mind can't process that much information. Now here's the deal and here's the problem. The subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between a good program and a bad one. It wouldn't know the difference between gambling and smoking or wealth building. It's just a program, right? Walking, talking, gambling, drinking, all just programs. The subconscious mind doesn't know good from bad. That's a conscious awareness. So once we start to understand it, say, okay, this is why I've been trying to lose weight for a decade and I can't, is because my paradigm is at a set point of 50 pounds overweight. But once we start to understand what it is, we understand that we can use the spaced repetition of emotionalized ideas over time to rewire the programming in our subconscious mind. And that's really what we teach and what we do in the Matrix Mindset Academy and in our advanced programs as well. And none of this is my opinion. This is science and this is the physics and the science of how a human being thinks and acts and operates. So what Bob has done and what I've studied and what we teach now is that process. How do we, now that we understand that the paradigm is our subconscious and it's a data storage center, how do we erase bad programs and install new ones? And that's exactly what we teach.
Ray said something else. He said that he asked the question, does your daily routine make success inevitable?
I love that.
That's quite challenging.
I love it. That's a really good one. So think about it. I mean, that's really easy, right? And so if I look at my daily routine, you know, I'm the CEO of a software company. We're building an international global software. I have a network marketing company. They work diligently every day. The coaching and consulting business that we do with Bob and yourself and our team, every day I'm on the phone. I'm prospecting. I'm coaching, teaching, training. I go to the gym almost every day. I eat really good, cleanly almost every day. So if you look at, you know, does my daily activity, if I just keep doing what I just told you, is success inevitable? Like no question, no chance, is it inevitable? And I would say yes, because it's multi-tiered. I'm not just working a real estate business. Well, you can do that for a decade and then you can have the economy collapse like it did in 2006 and 2000 and then the Great Depression. So that wouldn't be constituting building a bulletproof economy. So when Ray said that, does your daily activity guarantee success? We all need to look at that. You know, if we're going to a $15 an hour job and eating a box of donuts a day, smoking a pack of cigarettes, if you repeat that every single day for 10 years, I see you smiling, but it becomes blindly obvious, doesn't it? It's magnification, right? It's magnification. You know, would what I did today, if I magnify that times 1,000 days, would that guarantee success? And the beautiful thing, Craig, is this is not rocket science. It really isn't. It's not 100 things we got to do. It's like 5. You know, I drink water instead of soda. You know, invest $100 a month instead of, you know, buying $100 in cigarettes a month over 40 years. You know, go running instead of smoking, right? It's just a couple of things. It's a half dozen things can completely change a person's life mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, magnified over a 10-year period. Does that make sense about what he was saying there?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely, it does. It's making those daily building blocks that become part of the process of how you live, because I think people can see the big goals and the big vision and the big desire that they have, but the day-to-day practices that we put in place and we become part of our routine, they don't actually equal and build towards that big goal. And it's getting clarity on the day-to-day processes, because I know I can drink more water today and I know I can get on the spin cycle today and I know that I can eat less at the canteen today. I can do those things. I can do those things and put them in place. They can have a compounding effect over a period of time, but it's actually pausing to think, what do I really want? Mm-hmm. And what are those building blocks that are going to get me there? And I wanted to come back to that, because every single person, you, Brian Carruthers and Ray Higdon, all three of you kept talking about the daily practices and how important they were.
Oh, 100%. Brian's a tactician. He's going 100 million miles an hour. The guy's intense and he's a recruiting machine. And you can see, I mean, his, The compound effect of what he's done over the past decade has earned him, you know, over $23 million, right? Very simple habits. It's not rocket science what he's doing. He's just very, he has very good discipline and willpower. And he understands the beast. He understands the animal of the business he's in. So whether it's real estate, network marketing, insurance, whatever business you're in, you just got to understand the parameters of the business. If you're selling insurance, you know, you got to expect that like 9 out of 10 people are not going to buy, you know, unless you're really, really on point. It's just people, you know, they don't even talk about insurance. Like, okay, so somebody else benefits when I die, right? So it's kind of a tough subject. So you got to, it's not that you need thick skin. Some people say you need thick skin to sell. You really don't. You just need to understand that I need to talk to 20 people to get one sale. That's all. Now, a waitress in a breakfast shop, if she asks you if you want more coffee and you say no thanks, like she doesn't freak out and cry and like stop serving coffee and go home. It just wasn't for you at the time. So what Brian and Ray and myself were talking about is just kind of surrendering to the process. Whatever business you're in, you want to understand the numbers. And then disconnect from the results and just go through the numbers. Go through the numbers in a calm, confident manner. You know, somebody that's a roofer that's roofing a house for 8 hours in a day, you know, they don't roof for 5 minutes and then, you know, get upset because, I don't know, the wind blew the wrong way and then stop roofing and go home, right? No, they roof consistently for 8 hours because that's what a roofer does. Well, if you're in real estate or insurance, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're online, most of the things that people are doing to build wealth, you got to go through numbers, and it's just part of the deal. So why not surrender to that process, learn to love the process, and like Ray says, go for the no. And what he really meant at a deeper level with go for no, in sales, most people, their own paradigm will kick in before they're even close to making a sale. What I mean by that is as soon as there's a little bit of resistance from a prospect, their own paradigm will come in and say, oh, they must not like me. They must not want it. I'm probably not going to make the sale. And they'll self-sabotage. And then they'll leave the person in indecision. So you'd be surprised how many people in sales of any kind are leaving like 90% of their prospects with a maybe or indecision or I'll get back to you. So when Ray says go for no, what you're really doing is just pushing that. I don't want to say pushing because sales is not something you do to somebody. It's something you do for them. Right. Ideally, you're selling something that you think people need. So people have resistance points. So when you go for no, it's like, well, like Craig, listen, you know, we have this program. You told me you were, you know, you're fairly broke. You're at 40K a year. You want to get to 200K a year. I can help you do that. I have a proven system. But right now your paradigm's kicking in and you're magnifying this little $7,000 program cost. And I wouldn't be a good coach if I left you an indecision. Now, I don't need you to do this. I'd like you to do it, but I don't need you to. I don't want to leave you stuck here. What you're telling me when you say, let me think about it, you're saying, let me decide to procrastinate, right? But I want to help you. And time is the most precious variable. So Craig, are you up for doing this together? I don't need you to say yes, but I'm not going to leave you in a maybe.
That's great.
Right. And then I wouldn't speak. I would not be the first person to speak. That's sales is understanding people. And going for no is just leaving people. It doesn't matter if you're a no or a yes, but be one or the other. Make a decision. As Ray was, make a damn decision, right? Most people are stuck. I mean, they go to the restaurant. They can't make a decision. They're asking everybody around them, what are you getting? What are you getting for food? You're laughing because you've done it.
It's true.
So is everybody that's watching.
They got to that point in the conversation with you and Brian and Ray, and we received a lot of information and it was very inspiring. And I think everyone was processing, thinking, where do I start? And Brian Carruthers jumped in and he said, you start by deciding what you want. And at the start of your seminars and the start of every podcast that we have, it says, I just want you to know what you damn well want. You know, I want you to make a decision. And I think that's very powerful because in terms of those daily building blocks, you've got to know what you want in the end point. So just talk us through a bit of a process that people can use today, right now, to sit down and think, what do you really want?
Well, again, we don't want to overcomplicate this. It's crazy how simple this stuff really is. The reason why people overcomplicate it is they have limiting beliefs about what they can and cannot do. And that's the paradigm that was given to them from generations of people before them, right? So mostly what stops people is limiting beliefs. So when we work with somebody and we say, you gotta decide what you want, most people are gonna most people are going to speak to you what they think they can get. And I'll give you an example. You know, if I'm working with a realtor and they're, you know, they're earning $50,000 a year, and I said, what do you want? I said, I'd really like to get to $75,000. That's not it at all. Because what they really want is to get to seven figures, but they don't think they can. So it won't even be in the frame of mind or in their world to mention something like that. Right? But let me just give you this very logical statement. If we can't even think seven figures, then how would we ever do it? Because everything starts in thought. Everything starts from the no thing, goes to and through us into the something, right? So if everything starts in thought energy, we need to just teach people that you don't have to know how. Steve Jobs did not know how he was going to create a $1 trillion company. Thomas Edison didn't know how he was going to create the light bulb. He just made a decision that this is what he wanted to do. And then he moved forward until 10,000 tries, could have been one, could have been 100,000. He never would have stopped that process. That's how an entrepreneur thinks. So when we work with somebody, the first thing we do, and I'll just use you as a guinea pig. None of this is, what you've told me, but let's say you wanted to get to seven figures. And you were confused about that from whatever business, you know, I would just, quite simply say, Craig, if you knew how to get to seven figures, you'd already be there.
Mm.
So of course you're not going to know how. You got to fall in love with the fact that you're never going to know how. I don't know how I'm going to become a billionaire. I've just made a decision that that's what I want to do. And the reason is because I want to. Human beings don't need any more reason than I want to. It's want, it's desire. It's the same laws that cause an acorn to become an oak tree. It's the laws of growth in nature and God. So just wanting to is enough. You don't need a big, philosophical reason. You can have one, that's great. But want is a strong enough thing. But most of the people watching here, they end up setting really small goals because they automatically think, what do I think I can get to? Well, what you think you can get to is based on a limited level of awareness. And when we work with somebody, the first thing we do is we raise their level of awareness to that of millionaires and billionaires. So what you want to do is actually go to that level when you're picking your goals, which is, it may be a little confusing, but I think that makes sense. If anybody here watching knew how to hit that C-type goal that they were setting, you already would have done it years ago.
Mm.
What we really want to do is just decide what we want, make a decision that's what you want, and then start moving towards it. And the very first step is just getting a piece of paper out and masterminding. If it's a company, start writing down, what do you bring to the table? What do you need? And then you start asking. When we formed our software company, it was a 60-second decision. We just sat down and said, okay, who do we know? What do we have? Well, we have an idea. We have a little bit of capital. I have my network and my skills. And my other business partner had his skills. But neither one of us was a software engineer. It doesn't matter. I don't need to be a software engineer. That'll come, right? So we just masterminded what we had and what we were missing. And then we just used the power of asking and the internet and Facebook and everything else in our network. Next thing you know, we had a software engineer, we had a designer, we had investors, and we had a software company, right? And we're still in the middle of working that right now. But I didn't have to know how any of that was going to happen. I just need to know how this all works. And that human beings, we're designed to create, we're success mechanisms. As soon as we switch to the frequency of what we want, the ideas start to come from other people and from infinite intelligence starts giving us the answers. And I know everybody here has experienced that at some level. At some point in time, we've all gone for something we didn't know how to get, but it might have been like a bicycle or a job or a small promotion. Man, I really want that promotion. We're putting energy out. Next thing you know, our language changes. We craft a resume. Well, that's just energy. And we go for the thing. We put energy out for the thing, and then the thing comes to us, right? So that's just a smaller scale version of the bigger thing, and there is no such thing as big or small. It's just all relativity, so... I know that's a long-winded answer, but it starts with decision and deciding what do you want and not what you think you can get.
And some of the ways that you help people to do that, Brian, I mean, I know that you do personal coaching for $100,000. You know, we have programs that are highly regarded, being used around the world for decades. They're thousands of dollars. But then you've developed the Matrix Mindset Academy, which is $20 a month, the price of a couple of coffees, you know. Yeah. And so we have people all around the world who every single day are getting live coaching, mindset, personal development coaching from you in our private Facebook group. So tell us a little bit about the Matrix Mindset Academy, because that's anyone can access that right now.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. So I mean, that came from a labor of love and a passion of wanting to help millions of people instead of hundreds or thousands, you know. I was 43 years old before I got in front of this information in a big way, which is why my life was like a roller coaster. You know, I had money, lost money, married, divorced. just, you know, I had a great life and no complaints at all. I've had a brilliant, beautiful life. I've been traveling and stuff like that, but it's still not anywhere near as effective as I could be. So once I started to tap into this information and have the results that I had with it, and I started coaching with people, it's just like, wow, I'm having to, there's just a lot of people that aren't quite at, you know, at the level of being able to invest for our mid-level programs. And I wanted to create something that somebody could be living on a park bench and access. Like somebody can literally collect cans. And I mean, for some reason, somehow, even homeless people, they all have smartphones. But they, you know, we can, as long as you get a smartphone. And I want to correct you. It's not a couple of cups of coffee. If you go to Starbucks, it's actually one cup. $19, boom. But yeah, it's $19 a month. But we're delivering this information, which is the mindset of, like, you know, Richard Branson, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, all these success and wealth principles. We're delivering them in a very digestible format right on Facebook Live. And it's really become a passion of mine to get this information out globally to millions of people. And that's really what that is.
Pretty inspirational stuff. I mean, you had someone say to you recently that it changed their life, saved their life. Mm. And that's very, very motivating. You know, you never know the impact of your words. And Brian, I do want to thank you for the investment that you make into other people. I want to thank you for the coaching that you do and the amount of the really quality content that you share regularly on a day-to-day basis. Everyone who's in the Matrix Mindset Academy, just their lives are moving forward, and we get to celebrate that success with each other, because it's a real community. You see people have success, they share it, everyone champions them, because I think that's very important to move on from where we are to where we want to be. To make those steps is actually have cheerleaders around you, people who have a growth mindset, not even a similar mindset, but a growth orientated mindset, because we all have different backgrounds, different experiences, and we're all wanting to go towards different things. But having people to say, yeah, man, go for it, you can do this, because often our environment and the people around us can actually be limiting.
No, you hit it right on the head, Craig. I'm glad you said something about that, about the environment. That's another reason we created it. Most times when we're working with people, their environment is just pretty much all negative. Even it could be family members, where they work, their, you know, fellow employees. And we become what we're surrounded by, right? We become what our environment conditions us to be, especially if you're not trained in this stuff. You know, if we were to take a brand new baby and, put that baby, you know, growing up with Warren Buffett for the next 30 years, right? Financially, that baby would be a genius billionaire, you know? So environment is everything. It really is. It conditions us until the point where we become aware that we can create our own mental environment, which is what we do in the Matrix Mindset Academy. So what we're doing is, like you said, on a daily basis, people can get into a like-minded, positive community. Well, if you do that for a period of, you know, 365 days, it's going to pull you up. It's a high vibration. People are networking, they're making connections, and they're just helping each other. And it really is a family community. I just love it. I love going in there, and I love, interacting with the members. And the gentleman you're talking about is a Matrix Mindset Academy member. And I went and had coffee with him. He wanted to have coffees. I wanted to just talk to you and tell you some things. I didn't really know what it was about. Man, he almost had me in tears from where his life was with, I mean, I don't really think much about it, to be honest. I'm just giving this information that I'm learning, you know. And he just told me what had happened with, he almost lost his family and his company, his business, just from really holding on to a lot of anger. And he dropped all of it. And now he's with his employees. He does gratitude every morning. He does gratitude with his kids. At dinner. It's just really beautiful. And it let me know that, you know, I'm doing the right thing, and you know, my heart's in the right place. And it was really good.
Yeah. That's, you need that though, don't we? We all need that, those people to say, yeah, actually that made a difference. Mm. And what you're doing with the Matrix Mindset Academy is part of that, making the daily routines that make success inevitable. Like you say, and if you do it every single day for 365 days in the year, there's going to be a change. Mm-hmm. There just has to be a change. It is just absolutely inevitable that it's going to happen. Brian, thank you so much for your time. Just want to remind everybody that the Impact Summit, you can still buy the recordings and get those and access them anytime, anywhere for life. And I'll put the links in the show notes. Thanks so much for your time, Brian. Have a fantastic evening.
Craig, thank you as well. I know it's early in the morning over there for you, and I know that you get up early to do this, so I really appreciate you and what you brought to the Impact Summit, too. Most people don't know that, maybe some do, but you really orchestrated that whole thing. It was your brainchild, and you drove the team to and through that. You were masterful as an MC, so I want to just publicly thank you for your efforts in that as well, and we'll see you on the next podcast.
Thanks, Brian.
You all take care.
If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.